Morning, everyone. If someone were to ask me what we should be thinking about, what we should be doing today, the day after Pesach, I would say very simply, dieting. Eating and drinking. I think this year I felt it more than ever, the Shabbos right afterwards. So much food, Baruch Hashem, so much to drink. We should be going on a diet. After all, Shmartam, Aridus, Nashasechem, so much, it's important to take care of our bodies. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us quite the contrary. The Gemara in Sukkah says, from Daf Hamad Beis, Kala Isa Isu L'Chag Ba'Achila V'Shtia Ma'ala L'Vakos Ekilu Bonim Izbech V'Hikriv Olea Karban. Anyone who makes an Isur, anyone who binds the Chag, one of the Pshatim and Rashi is, it's referring to Isru Chag, it's referring to, to today. Anyone who connects the day after Yom Tov with the Yom Tov itself. How so? With achila and shtia, with food and drink, then the Torah looks upon this person as if they built a mizbeach and they were makriv a carbon shneim or isru chag ba'avos matanis hamizbeach. So the avodas hayoyim is achila and shtia. More, the diet starts tomorrow. Now we know whenever there's achila and shtia, usually there's simcha. Right? The Gemara says ein simcha ela ba'achila u'shtia. Seems to me that there's some type of inyan, there's some type of concept of simcha today also. And some of the mafarshim say that the idea is, I'll see the Ramban, the famous Ramban in Pek Chafalas, in Sefer Hamun of Abitochen, where the Ramban proves from the fact that we don't make a bracha. And the Somim, and not the Yom Tov, says the Ramban, from here you see that the Nisham Yisrael which we have on Yom Tov doesn't depart. It stays with us, the Ramban stays with us throughout Chol HaMoed and even after Yom Tov is finished. Because otherwise, says the Ramban, we should make a bracha on the Tzomim like we do on Matzei Shabbos. Other Mefarshim say no, other Mefarshim say they disagree, they say there is no Nisham Yisrael on Yom Tov, only on Shabbos. Shabbos Ramban is, there's a Nisham Yisrael and it stays with us. So therefore, there are those who say that there's still an element of simcha today. In simcha, the achila b'shtia, a person somehow has to go and connect to that which we've learned, that which we've gained, any insights, anything which we've been uplifted throughout the Yom Tov, and try and bring it into the rest of the year. So with that in mind, I would just like to share with you an idea on the Yom Tov of Pesach, primarily on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, which I think is very, very fundamental. Very Yeseidistic, it applies certainly to Pesach, and I think throughout the entire year. I'd like to bring it out with seven questions. The first question is, Mefarshim asks, why is it that the 7 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Pesach? On Sukkot, the first day is the Chag, and that's it. Shmini Atzeres, the Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmei, a separate Shechianu, separate everything. So there's only one day of Yom Tov on Sukkot, the first day. Whereas on Pesach we have the first and the seventh. Why is it that there's also a Shvi'i Shel Pesach also? Chinuch says, he says, the Inyan of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, Inyan Echad, Im Harish, and somehow it's the same idea as the first day, and it's all part of the same Yom Tov. So what are the two components? What are the two elements of the first day of Pesach and Shvi'i Shel Pesach? Second question, I think this is a very troubling question. What precisely are we supposed to take out of Kriyas Yom Tov? What was the point of it all? We know, we see in the Haggadah, that the Nisim which took place on by Kriyas Yom Tov were five times as great, five times as many, as they were by the Matzah. So what was the point of it? I mean, after going and experiencing all of the Matzah in Mitzrayim, and we see and we learn the Midrashim to the extent, that the grandeur of the matzah in Mitzrayim, what exactly was Hashem trying to show us? More matzah, more. What do we need? It? What's lacking? Just to bring it out even stronger. We know, we're based on the Gemara Psachim, the Gemara says in Psachim, that's very boilers, it's very striking, the difference between the types of Nisim which we had before Yetzias Mitzrayim and with the advent of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara says when Avraham Avinu was hushlach into the kitchen of Eish, when he was thrown into the fiery furnace, the Malach Gabriel said, let me descend and be mitzan on the Eish. I'll go and I'll cool down the fire. The Gemara says that generations later, when Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the Tishna Ish, again there was a discussion, who's going to go and save them? Then the Malach Gabriel said, let me go down, and I'll be Mitzanin Mibisnim, and I'll be Magdiach Mibachutz, I'll cool it down from the inside, I'll make it even hotter from the outside, and it'll be a Nes B'Teich Nes. Meaning, the fire will remain fire, and it'll be even hotter, and they still will not burn. And it'll be a Nes B'Teich Nes. And the Mepharshim tell us that this concept of Nes B'Teich Nes, this idea, the Nisim, which some say are Nisim, not just the Nisim where Hashem defies the laws of nature, the Nisim where Hashem proves to us and shows us that there is no concept of nature whatsoever. These Nisim we experienced with the advent of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Take for an example, a simple example. Makazam, we know by Makazam, Chazal tell us that it was Mayim Lezeh and Dam Lezeh. It was water for one and it was blood for the other. And what Chazal is telling us is not simply that, you know, when they would drink, you know, for a split second beforehand, then it would magically turn into blood for one and water for the other. No. Chazal is telling us very clearly, it was Mayim Lezeh and it was Dam Lezeh. The exact same thing as Mayim Lezeh and Dam Lezeh. It's something which we can't possibly fathom, we can't possibly understand how that is. And that is what Hashem was trying to show us with the Makas in the Triumph. Chazal also tell us that not only Makas Dam, but in every single Makas, it was a Makas to the Mitzrayim, and it was therapeutic, and it was beneficial. So the Yitim, it was on the Pei Dash and Apostle, and Nogri for Afay, it was Negifa for one, and it was a Rafu for the other. I mean, you have the very same thing. The very same thing for one is death, it's sickness, it's disease, and for the other one it's life, and it's refu, and so on. So the Bnei Yisrael experienced all of these types of nisim in the trial. They experienced that Ani Hashem b'keirav ha'aretz, and gemini b'chol ha'aretz. They saw everything. They saw that there's no such thing as teva whatsoever. Now we get to the Yam Suf, and we have five times as many needs to be the 50 or 200, 250. What do we need it for? What are we lacking? Third question. Chazal tell us that when it came to Kriyas Yam Suf, Ra'ata Shifcha al Hayom, Ashley Ra'a Yechesko ben Muzi b'marah nevuah. That even the lowliest Shifcha, probably referring to perhaps even a Shifcha, maybe even the air of that, Ra'ata Shifcha al Hayom, Ashley Ra'a Yechesko ben Muzi. That she experienced, she received, and was elevated to such a high level of prophecy, that even the greatest of the Nevi'im, Yechezkel ben Buzi, were not privy to see. The question is, what is the emphasis? What's the dogish in Yechezkel? Why Yechezkel? Why not Yeshaya? Yeshaya is also, after Moshe Rabbeinu, some say, the Nevuah of Yeshaya was also extremely high. What's the dogish in Yechezkel ben Buzi? Fourth question is the question of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer asks that we know when it was time for Geulas Mitzrayim, it was time for the Yidden to leave, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had some type of a technical problem, so to speak. They needed some type of a schus, some type of schuya, something with which, in that merit, they could leave Mitzrayim. So Hashem organized that and gave them Dan Pesach, he gave them Pesach, and he gave them Mila. Like they say that, and that Elim the area, that the Jewish people, so to speak, were naked, they were bereft of any type of sport, any type of mitzvah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them these two mitzvahs, and in the merit of these mitzvahs, they will be zeichet to leave Mitzrayim. It's like the Avnei Nezer, and when it came to Kriyas Yam Suf, they didn't need any Maaseh Mitzvah. They didn't need any mitzvahs Maaseh. Okay, they needed Emunah. Some of the Mefarshim say that it was in the schus of the Emunah, so the Yam was Nizka. But they didn't need any mitzvahs Maaseh. And ask the Avnei Nezer, why is that? Why should it be like that? Fifth question is, why is it that they didn't sing Shira in the Nisim in Mitzrayim? And we find throughout the Chumash many, many places the Bnei Yisrael sung Shira. When they found the Be'er, they sung Shira. The Gemara says, when they were Tzela B'Karv and Pesach, Chazal say, Efshe Yisrael, Tzela Tzcheyim V'Leyamru Shira. Is it possible? Are you talking about the Bnei Yisrael? They were matched the carbon Pesach, and they didn't sing Shira. I mean, after all, this was the Nisayla of the carbon Pesach was, and it represented that they were Moshe Yudeim Yavidah Zorah. They stopped serving the idols of Zion. And now they took a carbon, a carbon pastor, and they're being Makrivit Lashem. So this is now the manifestation of the Avdus, shown that they are Avdi Hashem, they're taking a carbon pastor. Actually, you saw Tzaluk Yisrayim, Valayam Lushir, it's Shaykh. Find several places they sung Shira. And especially based on what we said, if all the Nisim were a Makrivit and a Rafur Lazer, so when they saw Makrivit Dam, what wonderful, what a nace. And the Gemara and the Chazal say, when it's actually Israel, Elamim Makas Dam, that's the way that the Jewish people became wealthy through Makas Dam. They sold the Mayan to the Mitzrayim. Why were these Nisim not sufficient, not adequate in and of themselves to warrant Shira? Get to the Yam Suf, oh, they're missing Shira. Okay, we know that the Yam Suf was the final destruction of the Mitzrayim, but people need a little bit of an explanation. Why was it not possible to sing Shira beforehand? The last two questions, first the famous question that Farshim asked, is that we know that when the Bnei Yisrael came to the Yam Suf, it was a very difficult situation, a very dangerous situation for the Bnei Yisrael. And there was a kitrug, there was an accusation, right? The Malachim were coming to prosecute, so to speak, the Bnei Yisrael. Why are you coming to be mafal the Bnei Yisrael at the expense of the Mitzrayim? And they were sure that it was an ace tzara for the Bnei Yisrael. And the Mepharshim asked, it's famous in the name of the Meshech Chachma, that why is it that there was no such kitrug in Mitzrayim? Again, the Bnei Yisrael are being spared, they're being granted Tesefes Chaim, Tesefes Refuah, and the Mitzrayim are being killed. Why is that? Halalu avdu avayda zara, v'halalu avdu avayda zara. Why was there no such kitchen beforehand? Meshech Chachma says, and he says that to answer this question, that when it came to the Yam Suf, unlike Mitzrayim, there was division, there was disparity amongst the Bnei Yisrael. Chazal say, Yisim Ben Azil and others, the Medrash, says, Bo'isi Shor Ispalig La'arba Kitas. They divided up into four different groups. One said, let's go and fight. So in battle against the Mitzrayim, we're 3 million strong. There should be only 600 chariots. One said, let's down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One said, let's just go back and surrender. One said, let's just make a very loud noise and scare them and shock them. So it says the Meir Simcha, there was pirud, there was disparity. But regular, there's no after. As soon as there's no unity amongst the Bnei Yisrael, that's when Kitrugim starts. In the Mitzrayim, at least at the end, perhaps not at the beginning, but at the end, already by the time of the Nisim, by the Makkos, there was unity, there was access amongst the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore there was no kitrug. So I'd like to try and answer this question in the same vein as we'll try and answer the other questions. And the final question is, if we ask ourselves, what in one line is the essence of Shiras HaYam? What encapsulates Shiras HaYam? So the Mepharshim say, well, take a look at what the women sang. What was the Shira of the Nashim? Atam lahem Miriam, Shira Lashem ki ga'ay ga'asus ve'efei rama vayam. Most Mepharshim say that was the only thing which the ladies sang. I did see this here that I saw from the Ramad Valley, the Talmidim of the Ramchal, that he says, really they sang everything, and the third just mentions that. But many, many Mepharshim say that the only thing that the Noshim sung was Shir Hashem Ki Ga'oi Ga'osus V'reich V'ram Aviyam. And obviously that's the beginning of the Shir by the Anoshim also. Shir Hashem Ki Ga'oi Ga'osus V'reich V'ram Aviyam. That seems to be the Nekuda, that is the point of the Shira. And Rashi says over there, what's Sus V'reich V'ram Aviyam? Shneihem Kshurim Zebedah. They're both attached one with the other, the horse with the rider. A little bit difficult to understand why is that the point, why is that the Nekuda of the Shira? After all, we said so many Nisim, that's 250 different Nisim by Kriyas Yam Suf. Maybe the fact that there was a separate shril for every single shaved, and there were so many things to mention, to highlight, to stress, and it seems to me that this is the focal point, this is the Nekuda of the Shira. Sus Vareich Vairam Avayam. Why? So just to recap the questions which we have. The first question that we ask is, what exactly is the relationship of the first day of Pesach and Shvishal Pesach, the Chinuch told us that Shneim in Yenechem. It's just one big Yom Tov, and there's a Rishon and there's a Shvi. What exactly is the Shidduch between the two? What's the connection? The second question, what the Chalal was the point of all the Nisim by the Yom Tov? After experiencing so many Nisim in Mitzrayim, who needs the Nisim by Kriyas Yom Tov? What was it supposed to teach us? The third question, of what was the Dogesh, what's the stress of Rosh Hashukh Aliyah Mashallah Yecheskel Ben Buzi, the man of war? Why Yecheskel? Why not someone else? The question of the Avnei Nezer, why do the Bnei Yisrael not need to do any mitzvahs, masyas, any practical mitzvahs in order to warrant, in order to be worthy of Yeshua, like they needed in Mitzrayim? Why is it that they couldn't sing Shira? Why by the masses in Mitzrayim could they not sing Shira, only when they got to the Yam Suf? And the last two questions, why was there only a Kitron by the Yam Suf, not by the Nisim in Mitzrayim? And finally, that seems to be the Nekudah HaMekazis of the Shira. Why? I'd like to try and explain in the following manner. Another one, Chal tells us in several places, in short, in the Kitzur, he says it in Deach Hashem, and in much, much greater explanation in the Sefer Das Tfunis. I think that's probably the main point of the Sefer Das Tfunis, is there's two different types of anhagas. And I'll be honest, I certainly don't understand this fully, far from it, but to the best of my ability, I'll just try and explain very bekitzer the idea of these two different types of anhagas. He says there's two different types of providence in the world. There's something called anhagas ha-mishpat, and there's something called anhagas ha-yichud. Says the Ramchal, anhagas ha-mishpat means it's a type of providence, it's a type of hashkachas Hashem, which we have in this world, which is the Bchinas Mishpat. Mishpat, that means that there is a din, and there's a dayin, there's a schal, and there's einish. A person has bechira. A person can choose to do good. A person can choose to do bad. A person can decide to listen to the Ratzon Hashem. A person can decide, I'm going to try and be megaler kvod shamayim with my acts, by being boicher batayif, by learning Torah, by doing mitzvahs, by doing omer b'nisayin, I will try and be megalik for Shemayim through my acts. That's what we're supposed to do. And if a person decides to deviate and not be megalik for Shemayim, okay, there'll be a punishment for that person, be it in this world, be it in the next, depends on 101 different things. That is, in a nutshell, in a very crude fashion, that is hanhagas ha-mishpat. Anhagas Ayichud, says Ramchal, is anhaga which is much more pnimi, a much deeper type of anhaga, which states that even though apparently on the surface it seems to be that when a person is Baicha Bara, a person decides to do a Maisa Resha, a wicked act, and the person is Lehedya going against Ratzon Hashem, they're specifically going against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzava them to do, and they're choosing not to be megala tfot shemayim. I'm going to be megala my own ritzonus. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not interested in doing what Hashem wants me to do. But anhagas ha-yichud says that ultimately, libesayif, v'achris hayomim, in the times when yeh Hashem echad u'shem echad, when there'll be a pure achdus, and a gilui of absolute unity of achdus Hashem, then somehow it'll be nizgala to everyone, that every single thing, and even the heinous crimes against humanity, even all of the acts of Ra, every Maisa Rasha which was done in the world, through that also will be Nizgala Kvod Shemayim, somehow. Very difficult for us to understand. In our minds, it's really attached to the Sanskrit, we can't really fathom. How is it possible that if I choose to go against Ratzon Hashem, through that it will be Nizgala Kvod Shemayim? Says the Ramchal, this is what's going to happen, the Achris Hayaman, this is what will happen. At the end of the day, it will be known to all of us that even though it seems to be that we were the ones who were, so to speak, in the driver's seat, we were the ones who were going in our particular direction, Lebesayif, it will be realized to everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is the one who's riding the chariot, and he was steering everything in the direction which he wants to do. And as we said, something which we really can't understand, just to bring out, where we see that we can't understand it. The Gemara says in Chagiga, that was a learning the Daf, gets it in a few days. In Perek Ein Darshan, the Mishnah says, in the Mastan of the Gemara, the way the Gemara explains the Mishnah is, Ein Darshan, the Arayas, Lishleisha. The person is coming to teach, speak about the concept of Arayas, you cannot do it to three other people. It's only three altogether. It's the two Talmidim with the Rav together. Ein Darshan, Lishleisha, has to be a maximum of three. When it comes to discussing, when a person wants to disseminate portions, halakim of Torah, discussing ma'aseh bereishis, it has to be a maximum of two people, and no more. And when it comes to ma'aseh merkava, it can't even be afilu liyachid. You can't even explain the sedus of ma'aseh merkava even to one person. If the person is a chacham and they're made midaita, so perhaps certain remazim, certain allusions can be given to the person, but you cannot actually go and speak out clearly ma'aseh merkava to another human being. Says the Maral in his Hakatam Rishon at the Gevuras Hashem, what's the idea behind this? Arayis can be done with three altogether, ma'aseh bereishis with two altogether, and when it comes to merkava, to yourself. You can't disseminate this publicly to anyone, not even to one of the Talmud. Says the Maral, the idea is that the way that these particular areas and topics of Torah are disseminated pertains to the essence of what they are. It reflects the nature, the teva of these particular inyan. For example, when it comes to arayas, says the Maral, arayas is akasha beinish leishtei, whether or not it's the heter, whether or not it's beisse, but it's some type of akasha beinish leisha, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the appropriate union, this is inappropriate. So it's the kesher between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man and a woman. That is the nature of the inyan of arayas, and therefore it's only befitting that, perhaps in deference to what arayas is, it has to be done with a maximum of three. It can't be done to more than three. When it comes to ma'aseh bereishis, says the Maral, ma'aseh bereishis is the relationship between the Boyre and the Nivra. It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu created, and those creatures. So it lends itself to be taught in a form of two. Just like there's a Boyre and there's a Nivra, so there's a Talmud and there's a Rav, it's only two people. When it comes to ma'aseh merkava, ma'aseh merkava means the seidus of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu leads the world. All the previous tikka hanhagas Hashem, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu rides on the Merkava, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is actually in control of everything. It's the type of Torah which we simply cannot understand. By nature, says the Maral, the one, the Reichiv on the Merkava, is Nivdal, he's separate from everyone else. And the type of hanhaga which is going on, no one can possibly fathom. Like we said, it simply doesn't make sense how when I am Berche Barah, through that, Gilu Kol Shemayim is going to come out of it. I don't understand by definition what it means how Hashem is Reuche Al HaMerkava. So therefore, it cannot be explained even to someone else. If you understand it, fine, keep it to yourself. I think with these ideas, we can go back and explain the questions which have been raised. And the idea is that what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim was, we know, it's a Yom Tov of Emunah. Right? Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah. Pesach is Keneged Avram, who was the Reshem Aminim. He was the first one to bring Emunah into the world. Chazal in one place in the Schus of Avram. We were niggled from Mitzrayim. You know, the reason why we went down to Mitzrayim was because of Avram. Everything has to do with Avram. Avram is the Reshem Aminim. And we find that there was basically three levels of Emunah, which Hashem is trying to give us, which Hashem gave us, which we're supposed to gain and take with us out of this Yom Tov of Pesach. First and foremost is a very basic level of Emunah, B'tchinas V'yamin Ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Bnei Yisrael are not going to believe, they're not going to believe me. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, they're Ma'aminim, B'nei Ma'aminim, they will believe. And when in fact Moshe Rabbeinu went and told this Canaan about the Shlichus, it says, V'yamin Ha'am. And V'yamin Ha'am means that the Am had a certain level of Emunah. They believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kol Yachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can defy the laws of nature. He can defy the laws of nature. That was the basic level of emunah. That wasn't sufficient. That wasn't enough. Came all of the nisim in the place of the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim to bring us to a much higher level of emunah. Like we said, not that Hashem defies the laws of nature. Hashem shows that there are no laws of nature. The dam was there and the mind was there. It's a negifa for one and it's a refuah for the other. There's no such thing as teva b'chlau. That was the second level. That was the second layer of emunah, which was necessary for us to gain. We get to the Yamsuf. We get to a final level of emunah, which, as we've said, perhaps we can't totally fathom it, but we still have to know that it's there, and we still have to be ma'amin in it. And that is sus v'leich bay rama v'yam. Says Rashi, shnehem k'shurin zeh b'zeh. And the emunah which took place by the Yamsuf was the following. You have Parai, you have the strongest melech in the entire world. And the Farshim say, in the name of the Zeh HaKadosh, that when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, so Parai and the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, he assembled all of the Keichas Hara to descend and try and go connected to Bnei Yisrael to try and destroy them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was mechazik him. He gave Parai tremendous koyach, and he brought him right in front of Baal Tzvayin so that the setting would be perfect. So the power would feel very strong. The Gemara says in Shabbos that what is the symbol of Malchus? What is the symbol of strength? Someone who's riding on a horse. So you have Parai, you have the Reichvei in Mitzrayim, where they were riding on their horse. And the dogish is, the emphasis is, sus v'reich by Rama v'yom, zat Rashi, shneim kshurim zeh v'zeh. Not that the wave, let's say, knocked off the rider, and then he drowned, and the horse drowned, no. It's while the rider is riding on top of his horse, and he's still attached, and he still feels that I am now being v'reich v'rah, I am deciding to do what I want, I call the shots, I'm in charge, I'm Parai Melech Mitzrayim, while the person is in that position of evil, of a Maisa Rasha, that is when a person goes into the Yamsuf. And right then and there, that is when there was the Gilu Kavod Shamayim. And that is the Bechina, it's like a Me'ena Olam Haba, a type of Hasaga, something which is Shaykh to this Hanhagas Hayichud, which we said, something that we can't really understand how it could be, but we had one glimpse, one taste of it, by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Sus, where he was on top, the Reich was on top of the Sus, and in that massive Gufa, in that state, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed, I'm really the Reich over here, not you. So just to go back, and be mefakim, the other questions. Chinuch says, 1 and 7, it's really one inyan. The idea is that it's two components. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to give us emunah. So the first day of Pesach is this higher level of emunah to believe. But there's no such thing as Tavu Bechlau. We get to the seventh day and we get another dimension of Emunah. This Emunah which we've mentioned right now, that even through an act of evil, we should be mindful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is using this to bring about Kavod Shamayim. We understand now very simply what was the point of Kriyas Yamsuf. It's bringing us to a totally different dimension of Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enechanami v'yamin ha'am. Enechanami k'ni Hashem b'ker v'aretz. But to be mindful that through acts of rishus also, someone will come to Kavod Shamayim, we saw that by the Yamsuf. We understand, Rosh Hashifcha al Yom HaShleiro Yecheskel ben Buzi b'ma'a Nevuah, Yecheskel was the one who was misnabah on the Maisa Merkava. That was the Nevuah of Yecheskel. It was one of the Nevuahs of Yecheskel, but he was misnabah, he prophesied about the Merkava. And this is what Kriyas Yamsuf was about, showing the concept that Hashem is the real Reich. And the Shifcha saw even greater than Yecheskel saw. He saw a Bechina Mamash of La'asid Lavai, Hashem Yimlo Yecholim Va'ad Tzonek, which is Shaykh, the La'asid Lavai, and that's what they saw even greater than Yecheskel. We understand the Avnei Nezer answers this question, why is it that by Kriyas Yamsuf they didn't need to do any mitzvahs masyais? Says the Avnei Nezer, because with the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf were Me'ein Olam Haba, Umitzus Petelus La'asid Lavai. That's what Avnei Nezer says. This is the understanding. And the Avnei Nezer, what happened by the Yamsuf was something which is not really shayach to this world. It's something which is really a Bechina of Olam Haba, which is shayach to this Hanhagav, Hanhagav Tayichot, something which is Shaykh, the Ilabasayif. In Olam Haba, mitzvahs, practical mitzvahs are going to be bottled, lasted lovely. Why they didn't sing Shira? It's also be Alderech Zeh. You only sing Shira once you've completed a circle. Once there's a Smiris Magal, the one that says in a few places, the word, the concept of Shir means a circle. If you find coins in a Shir, you find dam in a Shir. So it's not possible, in theory, the nature of the mace in Mitzrayim was sufficient enough, was great enough to sing Shira. But over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to infuse within us Emunah. And we haven't finished that yet. You've reached a very high level of Emunah. We're not quite there yet. We need to get this higher level of Emunah in Kriyas Yamsev, and that which was in the Scala. Then there's a Skiris HaMagal. Then the circle has been complete. Then you can sing Shira. Also, that's the reason why there was the Kitrug then and there, not beforehand. Because what happened by the Yamsev was, like we said, it's a remez, it's an allusion to the final Geula, to what's going to be La'asad Lavi, there's going to be a tremendous Kitrug right before Yemeis HaMashiach, right before La'asad Lavi, there will be a tremendous, tremendous Kitrug. So to by the Yamsev, that's what was happening then and there. And Echanami, there could have been a Kitrug in Mitzrayim, but only when they reached the Gemara Geula, like the Ramban says, they were only really considered Geulim by the Yamsev. And that's the Maisa of a similar Bonin, which is Meramis to the future, to the Arlas of Lovay. And obviously that's the answer to the question of Sus Vareich by Rama Vayam. That's why that's the essence of the Shira. It's Shneim Kshun Zebazer. That was the whole point of the Maisa of the Nisim by the Yamsev. That while you have an act of evil, while you have power, who's on his chariot, who's on his horse, and he's trying to say, Kaviyachal, I am the real Reichel, that's when the Kodesh Baruch Hu goes, and he shows that he is really the one who's riding on the Merkavah. So as the Shem, which all be Zeichel, today, through the Achila, through the Rebbe of Achila, the Shtir, which we're going to try and do still, the Chameh, to take all of these three Dechinas of the Munah, which we have, which we learned about through the Yom Tov of Pesach, and that the Shem will also be Zeichet to meet him in a place like the Lord.